the electric eels of Parramatta.
Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
A huge welcome to the Parramatta's podcast post-Magic Round. I have essentially been home in central Queensland for 1 hour after getting back from Brisbane. And, mate, it was an incredible weekend. Bernie, I know you were definitely watching the Eels match, but did you watch any of the other games?
I watched all the games. Quite enjoyed. I think I missed one or two, but I definitely watched part of all the games. It looked good. The weather seemed to have played its part. It seems to have thrown a spanner in the works to some of the teams who didn't enjoy playing with the wet ball so much. Geez, it looked like fun though. It did look like Magic Round. It looks like it's magically made some of your brain cells disappear over the weekend. You were at the grounds. What was it like at Ground Zero?
Oh, amazing, amazing. And at halftime, and some people might criticize this saying it's very Americanized, but they go around with the shirt cannon and they do a kiss cam. And yes, the kiss cam was the funniest thing because the cameraman, and T-Dog made this point on the Dummy M podcast, which I do with T-Dog, which you can catch on Spotify and all other major podcasting platforms, that the cameramen have really figured it out that if you find like some mulleted bogan jabroni, you're going to get good content. And so it's always two mulleted guys next to each other and they see that they're on the kiss cam. So they pretend to kiss and the entire audience cracks up laughing. And they've also got this oblivious cam. So they focus on someone who's on their phone and essentially the crowd around them know that they're being filmed, but that person doesn't. And they hold them for like 30 seconds and then someone will tap them on the shoulder. But last night's was really, really funny because there were all these sort of young, like 12-year-old boys, okay? And when the camera came on them, they started making with their hands, like twisting their hands, like making like a dick suck motion. And the kiss cam had immediately cut away. But unfortunately, that always cut away to another like 11-year-old boy. And he was started to straight away do the dick sucking motion. And everyone was in hysterics. It was just hilarious. So look, I have said this before and I'll say it again. Suncorp is, to me, it's the best stadium and they run Magic Round perfectly. The whole concept of moving Magic Round, and I understand it, you want to expand the audience and get more fans and take this experience to different cities, maybe different countries. But honestly, Suncorp just, Brisbane does it so well. And the great thing about Brisbane, it's so easy to get around. It's really, it's a very well-planned city, like Sydney in itself when it first started. It was very haphazard and thrown together. And that's why you're on Parramatta Road. There's always witches' hats. There's always construction. Sydney always seems to be, they have got to fix something and it's impacting the flow of traffic and things like that. Brisbane is a very modern city and the traffic flows really well. The rail system's really punctual. I can't say enough good things about Brisbane. So it was a great experience. And next year, mate, you have to join us.
Yeah, well, you know what? We had the conversation at the start of the year and I wanted to either go to the Northern Territory game or to Magic Round and I ended up going to neither. But in hindsight, it was a good decision to not go to either of those games. So I'm standing by my decision to not go to that. But next year, once again, have to make the decision. I think Magic Round, it looks like you boys had a lot of fun. So I might have to jump on the Magic Round train next year, my friend.
Yeah, so we started at Brisbane Airport. We essentially got off the plane. Gary Larson was on our flight, so we interviewed him straight up. Then the next morning, we had breakfast with Anthony Maroon from the Triple M call team, who said to say hello. He was asking a lot about Bernie Tingles. He's like, where's Bernie Tingles? Where's Bernie Tingles? And
God bless him.
And then Maroon's like, oh, I've got to go to Roma Street Station. Do you know where it is? And that it was on the way to our hotel. And I'm like, yeah, come with us. We'll walk with you. And we walk over the road and suddenly it's Maroon. And it's Aaron Woods. He's there with Tarek Sims. And I said to Maroon, oh, do you reckon we could talk to Aaron Woods? And he's like, yeah. And we had a chat with Aaron Woods, and he was a really funny and personable guy. Oh, he was very happy to chat to us and made some great jokes. I was like, okay, so what do you think about the big game tonight? What's your prediction? And he's like, well, mate, I thought we were the big game. I thought everyone was coming here to watch Saints. You know, he was very funny. And yeah, it was really nice of him to give us his time. And yeah, and then on top of that, I have recorded and edited 3 shows this weekend. So it's been a big, you know, the boys went to all the games. I only went to certain games, and that was my plan all along. But I just stayed back, and we got 3 shows completely done because I'm going away with the army, hopefully in August again. And so for the Dummy M, I actually need a couple of shows in the can. So yeah, it was incredibly productive. We did a lot of our recording after the games. So starting at about 9 o'clock at night, just drinking beers and ginger beer. And so by the end of the show, I was...
Who was on the ginger beers?
We were. Because on the last night, so when we first got there, Jono and I bought a carton each.
Yeah.
And then when it came to the Sunday, we still had a 6-pack left over. And T-Dog's like, oh, are we really going to get through a carton? Because we were drinking at the bars and in cafes as well.
The voice of reason, T-Dog, yes.
Yeah, yep. So he just went, oh, why don't I get 2 4-packs of something? And we just said, yeah, whatever. And he came back with ginger beer. And ginger beer is good. I like alcoholic ginger beer.
See, I was waiting for you to tell me that he came back with Coronas or something. Like, it's like, how about I just go and get a couple more 6-packs and we'll just have something to drink other than beer, and then he comes back with beer.
No. No, I forget the brand of what it was, and he was experimenting with it. He's like, I've never had it, let's give it a go. And he was straight away, it's a bit ordinary, however, it's potent. And I was kind of charged up. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? After the show, I think I'm going to go out to the strippers. I think I'm going to hit the other pubs. And sitting there recording, and I'd had 3 of the ginger beers. And when I stood up, I was like, yeah, my legs. Yeah, I don't think I'm going anywhere. I think I'll just sit here. So, yeah, they caught up with me.
Oh, so they were alcoholic ginger beers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Geez, I was thrown then because I thought you'd gone soft, to be honest. I thought you're on the ginger beers. Like, the normal ginger beers aren't alcoholic. You've got to specify.
The 2 4-packs? When I say 2 4-packs?
Yeah, but you said that afterwards. But initially I pulled you up because you said, oh, we're on the ginger beers. And I just went, geez, what's going on there? You lads. No. I thought you guys are slowing down. That's not like you. Bloody hell.
No.
That's like you saying that you've got a carton of Coke. But you actually got Jack Daniels and Coke. So it's like you left out the relevant information there.
Okay. All right. I guess. Okay. All right. Well, we were cracking beers at 10 a.m. It was a great weekend. It really was. But again, it would be awesome if you join us next year. And we'll no doubt catch up with Maroon again. And it'd be a hell of a lot of fun.
Now, Maroon, he's one of those guys that we hung out with him while we were at Triple M. But then we went up to Townsville and did Breakfast Radio. So we said goodbye to Maroon for a while. But I only just recently saw, because he's been in the news a fair bit, I saw that he went up to Townsville in 2010. Apparently he was doing the Cowboys games in 2010. So we left, I think, in January 2010. So we've always been kind of close to hanging out with him, I think.
We went to Dairy Farmers while we were in Townsville doing Hot FM, and he was calling that game, but we missed each other, and he was telling me the story. He's like, oh, I swear we really quickly caught up in the stand, and my memory's awful. I'm like, really? My hazy recollection is that I'd messaged you, and we sort of were ships in the night, and we just missed each other.
Yeah, I think that was the case. The thing I remember the most about Dairy Farmers was the fucking flying grasshoppers, which were the size of your hand. And you're like ducking it. Oh my God, they had some serious bugs. Like, they'd land on you and scare the shit out of you. There were huge bugs flying around the place. And you're sitting there watching, you know, Parramatta was getting torched by bloody Cowboys. This was Jonathan Thurston was playing days. And, you know, you'd be sitting there with your beers trying to keep the bugs out of your beers. It was horrific.
The one thing I remember, I always enjoyed Dairy Farmers. It was a very family atmosphere. It was on the hill, and it was a lot of fun. Plus, we got the tickets for free in radio. So
yeah, it helped.
was the time when we went to, And I can't remember, was it Rugby League or Rugby Union World Sevens? I think it was League.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been to one Rugby Union match. It was Bledsoe Cup, and that's all I've ever been to, and that was in Sydney. So it wouldn't have been...
Had to be Rugby League. Yeah. And at the start of the match, a cat hopped the fence, and it essentially ran the length of the field, and it was the biggest cheer all night. And so I just remember that as, you know, everyone's there, they've paid all this money. Some people have travelled internationally to come to this competition, and the biggest pop was a cat. But
yeah, it was probably Rugby Union then.
Yeah.
No, it's weird though, because I've always loved Rugby League. Rugby Union is very similar. Never got into it. And the AFL, I started to get into the AFL back in the Warwick Kappa days with Sydney Swans. And I started to watch it, and I was just... But it never grabbed me the way Rugby League. It's weird that you just kind of... You know, soccer I never got into. It's just always been Rugby League. It's kind of weird. Like, I just... With the amount of pain that I've been through as a Parramatta supporter, like, I did think, you know, maybe I can spread the pain out and follow another team. And, you know, you can have one team... Because I know Jono's got his Titans. He's got his second team that he follows, and you know Parramatta's first, but he's still on board with his Titans. But I'm like, well, that's just, if it's in the same competition, you're just bringing more pain onto yourself, and that's what he's getting at the moment. So I did look at the AFL, and then they have the Greater Western Sydney team come out, and I went, oh, the Giants, and I was like, oh, I'll jump on board this, and I just I couldn't do it. I just, you know, it's just not my game. So. I don't know, man. I'm trying to lessen the pain. I can see the pain coming this year for us Parramatta fans. It's the same shit every year, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. And everyone's just, oh, you should be happy. You know, we just support the team. I've supported the fucking team. You know, 1986. Mm. It's been a long time, and I've just supported the team blindly, no matter what. I'm getting sick of it. Like, I stormed out of the game several times watching it on TV.
Wow.
Yeah, stormed out. After the first 5 minutes, I stormed out and I said to Nick, I'm not watching this shit. They haven't turned up. And you could tell by the first 5 minutes that the boys hadn't turned up. And then I hear the TV, you know, the loud cheering and everything, and I come running back into the room, you know, like like a fool. I get sucked in every bloody time, come running back into the room. What's happening? It's like, oh, we've scored 2 tries. And then it's like, Roosters score a try. And like Nick's saying, you should leave the room again. I'm like, all right, I'm fucking going again, you know? So I don't know. I'm getting sick of it, man. And, you know, it's squeaky wheel. But, well, it's not even so. It's not squeaky wheel. It's broken record. I'm saying the same shit over and over again.
Lane was
exhausted. He
doubled over.
Dude, like... And the last contribution that he gave was to knock the ball out and give them the ball back. And then they either got the 2 points or they scored a try. But his last contribution, and it's not even his fault. The guy is giving 100%. And you've got Cartwright fresh as a daisy sitting on the bench. Oh, man, and I saw at halftime when they went for their, they got their 1 point field goal. You cut away and Sean Lane was exhausted then. You know, he needed a bloody breather. Yeah. Just give the guy bloody 15 minutes in the middle of the game.
Yeah. Like,
dude,
So
same shit.
So I echo your sentiments, because I also had the urge to leave at one point. mainly because, you know what it's like when you start editing? I find editing really addictive, so I never start editing... If I'm leaving the house in 10 minutes, I would never start to edit something, because I just want to finish it. I get into it and I enjoy it.
You get into the rhythm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying to T-Dog, over the weekend, I put in a big effort to get 3 shows recorded, 3 interviews, and all edited and all finished, all packaged up. But it's a labor of love. I love doing it. So, there was just that thing in my head of, you know what? I could actually watch this on KO next to the computer while I actually edit. But I stuck through. The first 5 minutes was really annoying being at the ground, because all the fireworks smoke really just sat on the field, and it was very hazy. I didn't enjoy that. But I, again, and, you know, this is, again, we saying the same thing. I couldn't enjoy the game. I just couldn't enjoy it. I'm like waiting for the kick in the dick. And obviously we just get set after set after set on their try line. And T-Dog's like, oh yeah, mate, you got another set. I'm like, yeah, but we're not doing anything with it, are we? We just couldn't break their defense. And I mean, obviously Papali'i, Moses both had great games. There was a rare arrow from Gutho on the on our try line. Look, you know, he's a brilliant player. Those sort of things. There's such an anomaly. I have no issue there.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not think Dilbags had a good game. And is it because he was moved out of position? I don't know. But, he obviously went long on a couple of kicks. And he was a little bit clunky and out of rhythm.
This was my biggest concern about moving him. Now, he played well against the Panthers at 5'8". So once again, people are going to argue, but it's like, it's a rhythm thing. Like talking about the editing rhythm, these footballers, they need the rhythm. We saw what happened to Cronulla when they moved bloody Nico Hines back to fullback. I mean,
He had a shot. And he was familiar with that position.
Exactly. He used to play that position. We've stuck Dilbags into the centre and he never played centre. And it was like, well, I don't know. To be fair, I don't know. Like, he could just be young and he could just be having a bad game. There was, right the last, a couple, 2 minutes to go, if he had looked on his inside, Gutho's unmarked under the post. But he goes for the miracle kick out, you know, trying to do the spectacular thing. That's inexperience. But it wouldn't have cost us a game. They still had the 1 point up on us. But,
it
has to be said, the bench rotation, when our players are that tired that they're falling over themselves, it's so frustrating to watch when he literally, as we said, he was buckled over in pain from exhaustion before he got... Surely your job as coach is go, oh, you know what? He's exhausted. I'm going to get a fresh player on before the error takes place.
Yeah.
What? Mate, it's hard to watch. It's hard to... You do support the team. Like I said, you know, I mean, for Christ's sake, we do a bloody podcast every week about it, you know, and we're like,
that's,
you know...
Right. And we're both in para gear here and now.
Exactly, you know, and we love it. And we'll go back and we'll watch the next game, you know, fresh. And it's just so annoying because I honestly think we need to pull a Barrett. You know, we need to bloody just cut the head off the snake. I mean, we saw Trent Barrett, he pulled the old... We're having an emergency meeting and he's gone, well, fuck you guys, I quit. It's like, what could the emergency meeting possibly be other than they're going to fire him? And he's gone, you know what?
That's what we're changing our jerseys. The logo is getting redesigned. We need to vote on it.
we're no longer the Bulldogs. we're the Dobermans. Emergency meeting. We're changing our colours. We're going to be red now. Red and white.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
And you know what? Next year, we've got bloody half our good players are going. It's so annoying to watch. It's so hard to watch. It's just, you know, it's funny because I've got an 11-year-old daughter and, you know, you send her out to play with her friends and I'm kind of like, I feel like her coach, you know, I'm like, oh, you should do this and you should do that. You should play with this person. And then they go out and they come back in and, you know, oh, how did it all go? And you make changes and everything. I feel like BA's like, you know, they're like our kids and he's in control of them and he's supposed to go and help these young fellas, give them some guidance to win these games. I saw someone comment on Facebook and they were like, oh, I know that you say, oh, we win one, we lose one, our energy's up, our energy's down. And they're like, oh, yeah, but we're still in it. You should be grateful. And they said, the one problem is that to win the grand final, you have to win 4 games in a row. You can't have one game where you turn up with no energy. You can't do it. You have to be able to play 4 games to win the grand final. You know, you have to be able to bloody get into the finals. Or is it 3 games? I don't know. Maths isn't good. Win the four game. Anyway, you've got to be able to put them back to back. You've got to be able to...
That's right.
We should be, if we lose these games, and we've said this before, and with Jono as well, like if we lose them and we've turned up with a head full of steam, we've given everything we've had, and we've got beaten by some of their tries, you know, that is it Suwali? What's his name? Anyway, his big leap in the air. Massive. It was a fantastic try. It's great to watch. As a football fan, you just applaud and you go, what a fantastic try. But then you got Jared Worrey at Hargraves, who just kind of like bumbles his way over because no one bothers to stop him apart from Reed around his legs. And he's like, they're not giving an effort. Hard to accept that. If we get beat by a better team, so be it. And everyone's on board with that. But we're not getting beaten by better teams. We're getting beaten by teams that we should be able to beat. And the Roosters played pretty good, but, you know, we should have been able to beat them. But it's hard to watch, man. Hard to watch.
Yeah. So Jono and I were at the airport. We're having a beer, having lunch, and we're at a very long table that's practically empty. And a couple sort of slightly older than us came along and said, oh, do you mind if we sit here? And he was wearing an Eels top. And he was just, mate, I was at the game. I was actually in the tunnel. I was talking to Mark O'Neill, you know, the head of the Parramatta Football Committee. And he's just like, how can you be letting Reed Marnie go? Mate, what are you doing? This is just fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And he's like, look out there right now. If it wasn't for Reed Marnie and it wasn't for Papali'i, the Roosters would be pumping us 40. They're the guys who actually really stood out and did really well. This guy Moses did well too, though. Credit to Moses.
Let's say he's just like Moses had to do all of these one-off, win the game by yourself things, and that's not how you win a grand final. Now Moses is playing out of his skin, like to get these tries that he's getting. Those two tries he scored. Oh my God, what incredible skill level! And
yeah.
He's keeping us in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's skill. But you don't win grand finals with one-man teams, you know? You need to have the whole... How we're letting Reed go. And Reed's not even playing that. He's not even playing as good as he was before he had his shoulder injury, but he's going to get to that level. Yeah. And you can see the heart that the kid plays with week in, week out. He's there to play all the time. Now, he might make a few silly mistakes every now and again, and he might get fatigued, but... He's only getting fatigued because he's putting in where other guys are taking their foot off. But the guys that we're letting go, Papa let you go, Reed go, you know, Murata, it's insane to let those guys. And we haven't replaced them with anyone. I mean, who do you replace them with?
That's
I
right.
mean, so it's this year. It's this year. Otherwise, we're looking at a 5-year bloody turnaround because I dare say this is BA's last dance. Like I can't see how
they'd be so sure. I know
they might give him the 10 year might just go, you know, or you can just ride off into the sunset.
I mean, let's defend him here slightly in terms of he has a good record in terms of us making the finals.
Yeah,
so he has built a good team. There is a really good culture around our club.
Yep.
And so there are things to credit him with. Now I'm actually going to defend him and then I'm going to contradict myself here. Is that one of the big problems, which you've already alluded to, is that how do we have professional footballers turning up one week and not the next? Like, how do they not know that, oh, we've got to get up for these games? Well, how the fuck don't you know that?
Yeah.
Why is this a surprise to you? Why are you saying, wow, we really need to work on this rather than actually working on it? I don't understand. But now I'm going to contradict myself. The only way you're ever going to fix that is if the coach comes in and he starts... the New South Wales Cup routine of, mate, you're dropped and you're dropped. You're not doing your jobs, you know? And he like starts laying down the law that you need to pull your finger out. Like Fergo and Sivo should have been sent south long ago last year, the year before even, of, mate, you leak like a tap down that side, Fergo. And it's funny, the Roosters, when we played them, they were attacking the same side as where Fergo was. They had the same strategy from last year and it was working. Go that side, go that side, go that side. But BA's not going to do that, so
he did it once to Fergo. Once Fergo got dropped to New South Wales Cup, he played a couple of games there. He played fantastic there. He came back into the first grade team and was playing the best that he's ever played for our club.
Yep.
Sivo's never been sent there. Now, Michael Jennings was sent there once. Michael Jennings, it was the same. He was, you know, a little bit down on energy, wasn't playing that well. Sent him to New South Wales Cup. He came back the following week and just tore it up for us in first grade. Yeah. It works. You say
absolutely
to these guys,
does.
Yeah, you say, now the problem is we do have injury problems. So I think then they might be like, well, I'm obviously playing because, you know, who else are you going to get to fill in for me?
yeah.
We're low on
Joe
numbers.
Jabroni, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Unless Jake Arthur comes in there, they're like, I'm pretty safe at the moment with that. Although he could be coming. I don't know what's happening with Dilbags. Dilbags got put on report. Now, there was no mention of him doing any time for the crime. The guy ducked into the tackle.
Yeah,
I think
he'll be right.
But,
it was a nothing incident.
Yeah, but I fully agree with you. Now, even if you if you're the coach and you're like, I don't like to do that, I don't like to play that game, after 9 years and we still have the same problem that the players
can't get up for something,
you've got to try something. You've got to... All right, guys, like we're going through a routine at the start of the game to get ourselves primed for this match. You got to do something different because... And he said in the press conference, BA said, we're waiting to see what the other team is going to do at the start of games.
Yeah.
Well, if you know what the problem is, fix it. Like, we're going to go in there and we're going to tell them the way that we're going to play the game. We're not going to wait and see how they're playing the game. We're going to set the standard. Yeah. We're going to... So, you know, as you said, Gutho made a mistake. He's human. He always gives 100%. I've got no problems with that.
And, absolutely.
You know, and most of the game... was pretty good. And there's only a few things. As you said, BA's pretty good at getting us into the eight. He's got the team there. And I think that's what's annoying. It's like, dude, you've got the team. It's just a few nuts and bolts that you got to tighten and we're good, you know? And I don't know why you can't see these things, but I don't know. We're a third of the way through, so we're not like we're getting to halfway. There's time still to turn this ship around. To put it in perspective, we've got the same amount of points as Broncos, you know, and Broncos have been the joke of the bloody competition for the last few years, and we're on the same points, same amount of points as them. They're doing really well. We're kind of up and down. We're on the same points. We need to step it up for the last half of the year. We need to get some consistency, putting these lower teams to the sword. You know, like... We kind of did it with Newcastle, but, you know, you want to see us just run over the top of some of these smaller teams. And you just want to see your team go out there and play the best of their ability. And if they get beat, so be it. You can support that. There's no drama supporting that. And if someone makes a stupid mistake, you can support it and go, oh, well, you know.
Of course, yeah.
But it's just the fact that I keep seeing Sean Lane buckled over and they just run him into the ground and... It's always after someone runs through him, scores a try, or he makes a stupid drop ball or a stupid mistake, then they go, oh, we might, you know, take you off for a few minutes. And he was almost thrown up for crying out loud. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
ridiculous.
And he made that mistake. He kicked the ball. I think it was kicked the ball out. I think it was just his big limbs getting in the way, but...
Yeah.
You know, you can't play that game of, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but... You see the same shit every week, and he doesn't like to play the 17th man all that much. I thought that's why we're bringing in the extra guys, to give BA a little bit of support in these areas, but that's falling on deaf ears as well. So, don't know, mate.
Yeah.
Don't know.
As you say, it's consistency. I mean, Melbourne Storm fans and Panthers fans aren't sitting here every week going, oh, gee, I hope the boys turn up this weekend. They don't have that problem.
No.
Because their teams turn up every weekend. And an interesting point that I was talking about, that couple that sat at the table with Jono and I, and I said to him, I said, we're not going to win this year. And he goes, I haven't given up hope yet. He said, mate, there's only two teams in this comp and we've beaten both of them. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. But what we're talking about here, I think is the real issue, is, okay, say we get to the finals and we've got to get through the Roosters to get to the teams that we can beat, Storm and Panthers. Well,
yeah. Or the Rabbitohs, or the Cowboys are looking good. The Broncos are looking good.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, oh, okay, well, once we beat the Cowboys, then we'll be able to beat the Storm next week. It's like, you know, we do this all the time. It's like, you got to get through the first team. And people are saying, yes, you know, we've beaten the Storm and we've beaten the Panthers. We haven't beaten them back to back. We haven't beaten them, you know, 1 week, then the following week. It's always been okay, we're up for this game because we know we're up for a big contest. We're fired up. We're ready to go. And then we turn up, like, against the Roosters, and it was very much let's just start playing and then see what happens. And then we start to play panic football, and I don't know. We've got troops coming back. I am hopeful that the troops will lift the team, but I don't know.
We can't even say that it's travel. We can't even go... Well, the Cowboys game was in Darwin. This game was in Brisbane because we lost to the Tigers at home. Yeah, we can't even blame it on the jet lag or anything like that. So
No doubt. The Roosters were away as well. The Roosters were, you know, it's not like it was their home ground either. So, you know, Magic Round were all playing up there. So you're dead right. Yeah. You can't even say it's their home ground. That's why they turned up full of energy. Enough said.
Yeah, so. If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors, and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out. Well, it still was a fantastic weekend at Magic Round, and as you can imagine, there were a lot of burly blokes there who either played professionally or just played socially, and a lot of footy larrikins there. And we're at the airport this afternoon. I thought I'd end on this story. And they do this weird thing, Qantas, where you've got to hop on a bus and they literally drive you 100 metres to the plane because you can't walk because there's cars and things going there, whatever. Anyway, we're on this bus and there's all these lads there, and they're in their late 50s, maybe early 60s. And we're on this bus. There's, I don't know, there's 30 people. And one of the old guys at the back, he's like, he calls out to his mate and he's like, you know, Maddo's a poofter. And like, did I just hear that? Did I actually, did someone just say, you faggot? And I turned to T-Doc and I'm like, is this bus going to 1980? Like, what's happening here? This is just, like, have these people not actually experienced being outdoors for three decades? It was just, it was like, mate, whoa, what are you doing? But, yeah.
You wait for the old Gaylord comment. I haven't heard Gaylord for a while. That was another classic from the 80s.
Yeah, it was just, whoa, your ears really prick up. But, no, but, yeah. I mean, that in itself is, you know, very, very minuscule element of it. It is really a great atmosphere and a great vibe. And you know, there was one fight in the crowd at a Bulldogs match, no less, but which is pretty tame for a Bulldogs match. And, you know, you can't tar the whole event with that one incident. And I was there the year before, and there was one fight at the train station for the whole event. So when you're dealing with a sellout crowd of over 40,000 people, come on, the statistics there show that it's a good night.
And you add alcohol and you add, you know, the everyone going for their team. So it's almost like a gang kind of a culture.
Yeah.
And if you only have one or two blues in a couple of years, it's a pretty good result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. However, mate, we have come to the end of our show. As always, we have a Parramatta's Facebook group. Make sure you send us an invite. We would love to add you to that. And we're actually thinking about turning that into a page, are we not, Bernie?
I think so. I don't know. I might have made a mistake making it a group because I think the group seemed to be, I think people are over the whole group thing. I don't know. All I know is if we get the page going, then we can share it. And I think that's probably a better feature to have than the privacy of a group. So like you said, you know, I don't think we need the privacy of a group. We can, you know, defend ourselves against other football fans and, you know, bring it on. It might be worth a laugh, but. So I think I'm going to do it. I think we'll relaunch as a page and see how we go.
And don't forget, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast every week with my co-host T-Dog, where we talk about all the dumb shit that happens in NRL, and we try and figure out who is the Dummy M winner of the competition. Not the Dally M, this is the Dummy M. So be sure to give us a subscribe and a like there on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. As with the Parramatta's podcast, make sure you click subscribe and come along on the journey with Bernie and I. Although, maybe it's not so tempting at the moment with the way that we're playing. However, who knows? Who knows? Things might bounce our way, but we'll leave that in the football gods' hands. So, mate, you have yourself a fantastic week.
Yep, and yourself. And we'll do it all again next week, mate.
We will indeed. And also, lastly, don't let me forget to mention that you can catch Bernie and Jono, the sexiest man from Emerald, on the Parapet video. So they do a team list Wednesday now, it seems.
That's getting reshuffled.
Okay. All right, so it's a bit of a reshuffle there, but...
Yeah, I've picked up a trivia night on the Tuesday night, which I'm doing at the Albion Hotel in Parramatta. So if you're
in Parramatta.
Parramatta, yeah. So Parramatta, I'll throw in lots of Eels questions so that, the fans get some free points and there's lots of good drink vouchers to be given away. So I'll be throwing them at anyone with Parramatta paraphernalia on them.
Excellent. Make sure you get along to the Albion Hotel and support. But you can see this Teamless Tuesday video every week. It's at the Parapet on YouTube. So, and also, when you're on there, give that a subscribe for us. And as we say every week, mate, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's Podcast. Available on all major podcasting platforms.